Hi, I'm Danae Alamano, and this is Living United.
And I'm Kev Jackson.
Well, today, Danae and I are checking in with the folks at Evergreen Youth and Family Services. And Danae, we're talking with somebody you just fired, I just heard.
Yes, we're talking with Jana Wolf. She is the new executive director of Evergreen Youth and Family Services. And she has been, or she served on the United Way board for the last 3 years, which has been, you know, there's been a lot of change at the United Way in the last 3 years, and she's a big part of that, trying to just fill in gaps for our partners and have more value than just funding for our community. So it's bittersweet that she's now talking to me on the other side, but really excited for Evergreen to have Jana. She was instrumental on the board, and I know she will be there too. So welcome, Jana.
Thank you, Danae. That's a nice introduction.
Well, Jana, obviously, we know you from your years with Bemidji State University, and tell us your tale of going from BSU to Evergreen.
Well, I don't think anybody expected us to be facing historic challenges with a nationwide pandemic, but my husband and I actually took a vacation to Europe. We were in Portugal. When we came back, I was stepping into my new role. So we were on 14-day quarantine at home, and just it's been a crazy, crazy time.
It most certainly has, and a really challenging time to take over the reins of an agency that deals with people in crisis, and obviously it's a crisis time.
It is, yes.
So what are some of the challenges right now, Jana?
Well, when we started to meet as a staff and management team, you know, how are we going to respond to COVID-19? What does that look like for our agency? We're an agency that is considered essential. Our skills and our resources and skills and services are fundamental in our community as they relate to youth and families in crisis. So we had to rethink, step back, look at our policies, and reimagine how we can deliver services so that we don't have any gaps. Obviously, it's not been perfect, but we're putting things into place so that where possible, we're able to deliver some skills and mental support, mental health services remotely through Zoom and FaceTime and Skype. We're trying to continue with the healthy human connection that's so critical to the work that we're doing, because that's what our clients need the most. I think the shelter is still operating as normal, but we've had to put in policies and procedures relating to just checking symptoms and not taking youth that are running a temperature over 101, and what is our plan for isolation if we have a youth in shelter that needs to be isolated, and how are we going to mitigate some of the entertainments and diversions for those youth who have to be quarantined. So I'm definitely just stepping back and looking and trying to address things as they emerge.
Jana, could you share a little bit more for people who don't know all the different like programs and services, just the high level of, you know, what's the shelter compared to the drop-in center and the housing program?
So the shelter houses youth ages 9 through 17, and that's where we'll take system youth and non-system youth, but it provides just sort of an opportunity for kids that are in crisis to decompress. So there's some counseling that's available to them. There's staff there that are mentoring those youth, supporting them. There's structure that's provided. Sometimes it's just kids need a break from their current situation. Everybody just needs time to breathe. So those are the services that the shelter provides. The drop-in site, what we have are wraparound services. So the drop-in site is where youth can come. They have access to showers. A lot of our youth are living out of their car or sofa hopping. They don't necessarily have a permanent place to go, and so many of our youth are on waiting lists for housing and support services. So we have mental health professionals that work here. We have housing case managers, and then our drop-in staff that are really trying to plug youth into the services and the resources they need to set them up for success. So there's tutoring that's happening. There's some resume skill building. The youth have access to free laundry service and always a hot meal. So we've kind of just, a lot of those hot meals are grab and go. We still have youth coming in case by case, one-on-one, because a lot of times they do have to meet with somebody to go through the evaluation process to see what services they qualify for. Does that answer?
Yeah. Boy, it sure seems like right now, with what we're hearing about, you know, social distancing, washing your hands a lot, if you're going from, you know, somebody's house to somebody's house to somebody's house, in this day and age, that's probably not the safest thing.
Right. So, you know, the youth are feeling isolated because they can't come here. As often, there's, you know, a lot of times on any given day, the youth will gather at the drop-in site and they're getting that human connection. There's a social aspect to being in the drop-in site. They're eating together with our staff. They're being taught skills that maybe they don't have, whether it's how to bathe their infant or cut their fingernails for the first time to, like I said, building a resume, practicing job interview skills.
I would think also in a situation, you know, for a lot of kids, school is, for example, the safe space for them. If they're in an abusive or tough situation, that that respite isn't there anymore.
Right. And we're seeing that, you know, the shelter, they have friends at the shelter, those youth and some of our drop-in clients. So to take that away and that face-to-face connection is really hard on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jana, you were sharing too with me, you know, you have staff who maybe you have a pregnant youth, right? And mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit too about what the staff would normally do and really aren't able to do with the state of our nation right now?
Right. Well, I just love hearing the stories from staff, but they talk about, you know, these youth that come in, and if they're pregnant, they're often the ones that are taking them to the hospital or in the birthing room while they're giving birth or bringing them home for the first time after they have their baby or after they are able to get out and about, we're the first place they come because they want to share their experience and they want to share the baby with our staff because they're accepted here and they're met where their needs are.
Kev, I've brought groups to tour the drop-in center, and the last time we were actually there, the staff who was just sharing and touring was holding a baby who missed his nap that day. But as she was talking and holding him, he fell asleep in her arms. And I thought, man, you can't get more real than that. Here she is taking care of this baby so mom can, I think she was interviewing for a job that day. They're doing so much that Evergreen's still this best kept secret in town. Mm-hmm. And they're doing such needed things. So to think of what's happening now and to not have that support system, you know, physically, has to be hard on those kids.
Well, clearly to me, this is difficult enough with a strong, you know, family structure. You know, because of my wife's health situation, we're trying to stay as separate as possible. So we have to do the video conferencing with Sebastian and Kayla and my parents and her parents and that type of thing. But at least we can do that. I think for kids who might be in a lonely situation, this has got to be really, really difficult.
We are seeing that, and our case managers are working extremely hard. They've been very creative. They've been posting videos. They've been engaging at whatever whatever is available to our clients. So whether that's FaceTime or chat or just calling and talking things through. I know that we have one case manager that has met one of her clients and just gone for a walk with her. So we're trying to model social distancing. They're posting some teaching videos online, like washing your hands, and they did a great demonstration on that. We've gotten some great donations from 209 of hot meals that we're able to deliver to our clients and to some of the shelters' youth. So I think a lot of neat things have come out of this as well. You know, our mental health providers are able to connect with youth, and we're seeing that some of the barriers aren't there because they don't have to find a ride to get here. They're able to do these video calls. And so I think that we'll be relooking at how things worked, stepping back. And I think that we have identified some opportunities and developed some methods of delivery that will probably continue.
That's awesome that there's some positives coming out of this that may work when life settles back in too.
Right.
Hey, Jana, you had mentioned before we got going the United Way Emergency Fund. Has that been helpful to you?
Oh, so helpful. So, you know, one of the things that we were concerned about is we do not have any funds to address entertainment and diversions for youth who are quarantined. And, you know, that's not just at the shelter. It's also with our clients. You know, they often are living paycheck to paycheck. They don't have reserves. They can't stock up. And so we've had to think, okay, what are the basic essentials that we need to have to be able to provide to them? So whether that's toilet paper or hygiene products, cleaning supplies with suggested lists on how to clean, especially in wake of COVID-19, all of those things. We just have to think outside the box. We've just ordered some fever-reducing medicine, both for infants and adults, but, you know, we can't get our hands on any thermometers for our housing case clients and things. So, I mean, we're still looking, but I think that those funds have helped us to address some of the needs that have come up with those high-demand basic necessities, personal protection gear for our shelter, hygiene, activities and supplies. Even our youth that are in our housing, they need to have activities to keep them busy. So, and then access to more technology. We have so many desktop computers, and they're not as remote and we can't transfer them between office and home. So needing to look at technology, ordering some cameras, ordering some audio equipment so that they can connect through their computer.
One of the other things that that you were going to handle as you took over was get their second annual gala set for, I think, late April. That's obviously not going to happen, at least not in that time frame.
Right. Yes, it was a tough decision, and we even considered doing a virtual gala, but just coming into this and the bandwidth that we're running up against, we had to make the tough decision to cancel that. So that gala helps fund a lot of our unrestricted dollars. So the unrestricted dollars help us to respond to emerging needs that maybe we didn't anticipate, especially in times of crisis. So we're just looking at opportunities, and we think that we're so thankful that United Way has been there to provide some emergency funding. But, so if anybody was planning to attend the gala, they certainly can still send in a donation, what they had budgeted to spend at that.
Mm-hmm. I know my husband and I were planning on coming, so I appreciate having that option. And I think knowing the work that you're doing, I hope that the community would also look at that as an opportunity to support what you're doing and maybe even attend next year to your gala.
Yeah. Well, we have lots of updates on our website, too. Like I mentioned, how we're addressing, how we're responding, what services we're providing, some of the things that are in high demand. So if anybody has questions, they can certainly call, but also going to www.evergreenyouthandfamilieservices is a great spot. We're trying to post things as as they change.
Okay. Well, we're going to be talking with Kelly Breving, also from Evergreen, in just a little bit. Jana, is there anything else you want to make sure you get out there before we wrap it up?
Gosh, not at this time. I just think, like everybody else, we're all just trying to find some normalcy and some levity in this changing time. But thank you so much for taking the time to reach out.
All right. Jana Wolf is the new executive director of Evergreen Youth and Family Services. And she, like all of us, are trying to make our way through a very unique time in our history. Jana, thank you so much. And Danae and I will be checking in with Kelly next.
Thank you.
Well, Danae and I now talking with Kelly Breving. She is the Suicide Educational Services Coordinator with Evergreen Youth and Family Services. Kelly, thanks for taking the time today. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, too.
Well, Kelly, obviously this is a weird time for everybody, and we were talking around the station about some of the things we probably don't think about that are affected by this. What are some of the things you're seeing with the people you deal with that's a real, real challenge beyond the stuff we're all dealing with?
Oh, boy. You know, I think the social isolating has been really difficult. And I say isolating because it feels that way. There's a lot of ways that we can reach out. It's just a new normal, and we have to figure out what that looks like. I've talked to some parents that are, you know, say they think their kids are doing better than they are because, you know, they're adapting pretty well, but the parents are scared. This is new for them. And I've talked to some parents that have said that, you know, my kids are just so lonesome. They just want their friends. They're used to being social, and they don't have that outlet. So there's a lot that is going on for everybody. And I guess the good news is that everybody's kind of in the same boat, really. You know, we're all dealing with this on some level.
What are some of the things that you're talking with the clients you deal with about and how to handle where we're at?
So some suggestions that have come through have been utilizing social media, utilizing Zoom or Facebook Live or the Messenger, Facebook Messenger. There's a video app there, and connecting with people. Maybe for parents, it's a virtual happy hour where they close the door and get away for an hour and, you know, do not disturb. And they're just visiting with friends or family that they can't connect with. And they're still having that place to vent and have an outlet and really be able to share experiences and name the big feels that they're having right now. I think that it's really important to still be able to connect with people. A lot of people are working from home, which is different for a lot of people. And so even connecting and setting up a virtual break time is something that we're doing at Evergreen, just to be able to, you know, hey, if you're free at 2 o'clock and you want to take your break and see some faces and check in and see how everybody else is doing, you know, come on and join us. No, you know, no agenda, just, you know, feel free to jump in and see how everybody's doing and laugh and have some fun. I think that, you know, we need to take some of the seriousness out and have some fun with the new experiences that we're having. Lots of apps and fun things for kids to be doing on the internet, but we often forget about the parents. So it's really teaching them, you know, how to connect and that it's okay to do that, and that this new normal is, you know, just going to take a little bit of time to get used to, but they're definitely not alone in this.
I would think even in the best of family situations, things would get really difficult being together all the time in a fairly tight situation. You deal with a lot of families in crisis. It's got to be an even bigger challenge in those cases.
Absolutely. And, you know, my grandma had a saying that home is where you grumble the most and are treated the best. And, you know, everybody has their time where stress affects them differently. And sometimes it means that we need to grumble. And that might come out in different ways. We might be angry. We might, you know, have a fit at the vacuum cleaner because the cord is stuck on something and we're realizing, oh, that came out sideways. And, you know, we all have little meltdowns in our times when things just aren't right. And so it can really escalate quickly if we're not prepared on how to deal with that. And so a good thing to do is set some ground rules and just acknowledge as a family that this is going to be difficult. We have to talk about how we're going to deal with this and what we're going to allow and what we're not going to allow. And using I statements is a really positive thing, giving people space and time and just to say, okay, I know that that was probably not personal. It felt that way, but I'm going to choose to walk away right now, and then we can talk it out later. And apologies go a long way, but truly, when we're under stress, things come out when we least expect it, and we can say things that we don't mean, and it can be very difficult to deal with. So as long as a person is in a safe, physically safe environment, keeping themselves, busy and granting a little bit of grace for each other is an important thing to do.
Kelly, how many clients do you serve?
So I am doing suicide prevention. I don't do direct services with clients, but I do have a lot of contacts with people. So people will call me often and say, okay, what do I do with this or how do I deal with that? And so I will often direct people to the right connections. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing some feeling out there lately and getting a lot of responses privately on social media just to get a feel about how people are doing. And what I've been learning is that the older youth, the teens and young adults, really, especially that are used to being very social, are really struggling right now. And they don't have an outlet. Some of them may be using Zoom or maybe doing games online and still having those connections with people. But some of them, really don't have that connection, and so they're struggling. Mm-hmm. We have to find a new way for everybody to connect. Mm-hmm. And what is that going to look like? Especially for those that live alone right now, and especially for our youth, we need eyeball time. We need that time to reach out and really be able to let people know that, hey, I'm here. I'm here to talk. We can get through this together.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, you mentioned people with a safe space. What are we doing and what can we do in situations where youth or adults don't have a safe space?
Really great question. So everybody in our community has been struggling and with this challenge of how are we going to serve clients in a new normal. Evergreen is still meeting the needs of folks. We're just doing it a little bit differently. And so the shelter is still operating. It's still running. We still have, places for our youth there. And, it just looks a little bit different. You know, we're still working to keep kids busy during school. They're doing online school at the shelter. The drop-in shelter still has things in place for young adults up to the age of 24, where they can get some supplies and get some laundry and get help with housing and get help with filling out those applications and moving forward of how do I get to a better safe space. I know that the women's shelter I've heard is still very much open and active, and so there are supports in the community, and the best way to find out what's out there to meet your needs is to reach out. Our Community Resource Connections really has a good finger on the pulse of what's out there, and they're meeting quite regularly with the heads of different nonprofits in the community to make sure that they are aware and they have the right information to share with people as these individual needs arise. So
yeah,
there really is a lot. It feels hopeless, but it really isn't.
And two, the United Way is actually leading those meetings in partnership with CRC, Community Resource Connections, and we're doing the updates on their website for them. But people can also call 211 if they're looking for services or needs in the community, too, just to mention that, because it's an easy thing to remember instead of 911 and 211.
Right. Yeah, and thank you. The United Way is really, really an important partner in our community, and I know that there's a lot that's been going out there, more grants and immediate help for nonprofits to keep going and really serving the community well.
One of the things that we do regularly on our KBUN sports radio station is we feature different students of the week at Bemidji High School. Inevitably, it doesn't matter if they're in fine arts, academics, sports, inevitably, every kid says the same thing. What do you like to do? Hang out with friends. Hang out with friends. It's like 100%. Among the many things they do, hang out with friends is always in the top five. So right now, this is really difficult for teenage kids. It's got to be.
It really is. And, some people, when I grew up, it was talking on the phone. And, it was times before call waiting. Where is there? You're still on the phone. Get off the phone already. Because that's what we did. We talked on the phone. This generation is not comfortable with that. They grew up texting. And some people don't have access to a really good connection on the phone because they didn't really need it. Maybe it's a sketchy connection, and so they're used to just texting, and that's how they like to communicate. So asking them to not only talk but put your face out there can be really challenging and daunting if it's something that they're not used to. And in school, you're forced to see everybody. You don't just hang out with one or two people. You see everybody and know what's going on and can see the trends and see the reactions of people, whether or not you're in that intimate friend group. When you're at home, you're at the mercy of who you talk to. You don't get to see the whole gymnasium at the same time or the whole classroom at the same time. You're just one person reaching out and hoping that someone really wants to have a conversation. And learning how to navigate through that can be a little bit awkward. So I think we're going to have to find a way to help our youth out with that. And I keep brainstorming, and I don't have an answer yet, but I'm hoping that we can figure something out for them, whether it's, setting up game nights on Zoom or something that kids can don't have the responsibility of creating themselves, but can still be a part of and get that interaction.
Are you seeing an increase in I don't even know how to phrase the question, but you deal with a lot of at-risk kids. Is it more risk than usual? Are we seeing that?
I think anytime that there's a big change, you're going to see some immediate fear come out. You're going to see some immediate, crisis. And, for me, I had a lot of technical support right at the beginning of this crisis, where a lot of people were reaching out to me and having new struggles that they had to navigate. And so I know that, we saw an increase a little bit at the shelter and the drop-in just because of that original fear. So I think that, that definitely it stirs things in folks. I think that people are kind of calming down a little bit to the new normal, but there are still really good supports in place. Like, a lot of therapy is happening telemed right now, where we're doing it face-to-face on the computer. And, that's a new learning curve for a lot of folks, but it's something that's still available. As far as mobile crisis, they're still meeting with people and, doing interaction on the phone like normal and going to people's homes or places of work. They're I haven't checked in, this past week, but the last I heard, they're still doing things the way they always have, because their concern is people, adults, students, youth, and how they can keep them in a safe place right now. So it's looking at safety plans and not just for those in crisis, creating a safety plan for everybody, asking ourselves on a daily basis, how are we getting out today? Are we going to go for a walk? Are we going to get some fresh air? Are we going to open the windows on a nice sunny day and get some fresh air in here? How are we going to move our bodies? What are we putting in our bodies? Looking at alcohol, sometimes people want to escape by having a few beers, but understanding that, yep, that is actually a depressant, and this might not be a good idea right now because that can bring us down a little bit. Looking at, you know, what our routine is like, setting routines and making sure that we are getting up and getting dressed and showering and doing those things that that we need to be doing if we're working from home, that we would be doing if we went into the office.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't know if you know Kelly, Kev, but she is just a stellar person and also a wonderful asset to Evergreen. So, Kelly, thanks for talking with us and for the work that you do in our community.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very sweet.
Any final thoughts you have?
You know, just that there is an end in sight. We don't know when it is, but as a community, I think we are a strong community. I think we have the ability to get through this. I think that helping youth and young adults understand the importance of what social distancing is really important. I don't know that everybody fully understands why it's so important, but helping people to understand that, looking for humor in every day, every way that you can, and reaching out if it's a one-on-one phone call or a message to somebody, it can really go a long way, and finding out, checking in on them and seeing how they're doing. So, and it helps us feel better when we're doing something, when we're helping someone else. So if we all had a buddy that we checked in on, that would be amazing.
Kelly Brevig is the Suicide Educational Services Coordinator at Evergreen Youth and Family Services. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, guys.
And today, we'll virtually see you next time.
Sounds great.